ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden meeting today with top congressional leaders. There is another looming government shutdown this weekend. ABC's Rachel Scott with a rundown of what could be included if it happens.
Funding for several key agencies will run out, including agriculture, transportation, housing, and veteran services. More than 100,000 federal workers would go without pay. That also includes air traffic controllers, which could possibly lead to travel disruptions. And then 1 week later, the rest of the federal government would shut down, with funding running out for the Pentagon and Department of Homeland Security.
It's primary election day in Michigan. Some Arab American voters, many of whom live around Detroit, are planning to write uncommitted instead of pulling the lever for President Joe Biden because they say they are upset about U.S. policy in Gaza. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp is blaming the White House and its border policy following the death of a nursing student who was murdered on the University of Georgia campus. The main suspect in the case, an immigrant who was in the country illegally. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We're near the end of Black History Month, first proclaimed by President Reagan in 1986. He said Black history had a rightful place in American schools. Senator LaTanya Johnson says she's dismayed by the change in tone from Wisconsin Republicans.
It's so far away from that. We see so many attacks on minorities in that building.
Johnson speaking to the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Channel. A pair of redistricting experts is billing the state $128,000 for the work they did for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. About half of the bill will be paid by taxpayers. The rest will be covered by the six parties in the case. The case was effectively closed when Governor Evers enacted new maps last week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Officials say there was a crash between a Duluth Transit Authority bus and another vehicle downtown on Monday morning. According to the Duluth Police Department, the crash happened around 10:45 a.m. at the intersection of North 4th Avenue East and East 3rd Street. The driver of the Transit Authority bus reportedly suffered minor injuries and was taken to the hospital for treatment. There were no passengers on the bus at the time of the crash. The driver of the other vehicle was not injured and was released at the scene. City of Duluth Human Rights Officer Carl Crawford has announced he will step down from the position to accept a new role with St. Louis County. Crawford will step down at the end of March to become an inclusion specialist with St. Louis County. Under the new role, he'll be responsible for outreach and engagement activities meant to increase diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. Crawford previously served as the chair of Duluth's Human Rights Commission and a founding member of the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. Biomarker testing was a turning point for me. By working with my oncologist, we were able to determine the most appropriate treatment plan. My fear was I wasn't going to be here to see my children grow up. That gave me hope, knowing that I have that chance, and I did. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Bucks return to Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After the All-Star break and a road trip, the Bucks are back home tonight against the Charlotte Hornets. Head coach Doc Rivers says he's finally seeing improvement on defense.
I think our guys, you know, playing both ends is exhausting, and it was taken away from our offense a little bit. I think their conditioning is starting to catch up. You can see that, you know, last three, four games we've been terrific. This team, because you have a Giannis on your team, if you can get stopped, you can get in transition. Giannis in transition is a problem for everybody.
Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Reds 8-3. Tomorrow, they'll host Craig Counsell and the Chicago Cubs. We're in Indy to cover the NFL Scouting Combine, getting underway today. Over 320 of the top players in college football are here. Will running back Aaron Jones be back with the pack?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'd love to have Aaron back. We're still kind of putting all those things together as far as how we're going to move forward. But, I mean, that's kind of the anticipation, is that he'll be back.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Sunshine early today, then rain and snow possible after around 2 or 3 p.m. We'll get to around 51 early this afternoon with temperatures falling into the upper 20s by late today. The wind will be northwest at 10 to 20, gusting to 25. Tonight, some light snow, 3 above. Tomorrow, sunny 19. We're back to 43 by Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Matt Mayer on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in, goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back into the Earl Ingram Show on this Tuesday morning. Stu Daniels here filling in for Earl today. Earl will be back tomorrow. And thank you for tuning in. And let's go back to the phone lines. We've been discussing capitalism and socialism and healthcare and takeovers of corporations, mergers and acquisitions. Let's go back to the phone lines and see what Tim from Eau Claire has to say. Good morning, Tim. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Well, you know, I get really annoyed with these Republicans and Trumpers and MAGA people. They're against everything that's good for the people. Government's too big, this and that, Obamacare. I have a friend who is a staunch Republican, and he worked for the school system for years. He retired, got a great pension, health care. Well, after he retired, he got some kind of lymphoma, and at the schools, you know, they were using this Roundup stuff. Well, he was right there to try to apply for some of that money and get that, but they don't like those kind of programs, but when it benefits them, then they're all for it, you know.
Yeah, that's the way it seems. Program would be considered socialist by many Republicans. That's your point, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Tim, thank you for the call. I appreciate you chiming in. Let's go to Ruth from Wisconsin. Good morning, Ruth. Thank you for calling. What do you have to say?
Good morning. Hello.
Good morning. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Good morning. Okay. Yes. I have been on all three spectrums when it comes to healthcare. And I've been on medical assistance. I landed a really good job, however, did not have health care. That's when Obamacare was to help my family and me out as a single parent. It was astronomical to pay for health care for just me alone was going to be over $389 a month. For my kids, the four kids I have, that were minors, it was going to cost me almost $2,900 a month, which would have been three quarters of my wages. It was not affordable at all. Now I've got another job that I've got health care. I pay $700 a month for my four kids and I. And when I was on medical assistance, you're on a waiting list. The socialized medicine goes to the people that have private health care first. My two kids, older ones, were waiting for their wisdom teeth to be pulled out. One waited 3 years, another one was waiting 5 years when we were on medical assistance. As soon as I got Blue Cross Blue Shield through my employer, boom, they were in within 2 months. Same dentist, same everything. So the socialized medicine, I had seen it with my grandfather, who was a U.S. veteran from the Army. He was put on a waiting list because it is a government-type insurance. He darn near died because of a blood infection. Thank God he did not. But when you have the socialized, you are put on these different tiers and priorities. Obama was pushing so hard for what's called prosperity. People who are prosperous that are helping contribute to the country, oh, you're going to get, you're working class, you're going to get it right away. You're going to get it right away. You can be in the working class but can't afford the high insurance rates, or your employer doesn't carry it. Now you're trying to get the Obamacare. You're still pushed way back years for your treatment versus months. So,
all right. Yeah, Ruth, thank you for the call. I appreciate your perspective and your story and your experience with the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare. And I know there are anecdotal stories from people who say that the Obamacare was not affordable for them. But I think the overwhelming majority of people who have had health care through the Affordable Care Act over the past 12 or 14 years, whatever it's been now, I think the vast majority are pretty happy with what they have been able to get. I personally have gotten my insurance through the Affordable Care Act since it was enacted. And some years it's more expensive than others, depending on how much money I made the previous year. But I'm very thankful for the health care that I've had, and it's worked for me. And I've never been put on any of those waiting lists where I've had to wait weeks or months. I've always been happy with my doctors, and it's always worked out pretty well for me. And I know a lot of people have said that, and a lot of the callers that I've heard over the years have said the same thing as well. But thank you for your perspective. It's 12 minutes after 9 o'clock right now, and I want to get to another topic here while we still have some time, see if anybody wants to chime in on this. You know, this past Saturday, a few days ago, marked the two-year anniversary of Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine. So I was watching a lot of the coverage over the weekend where they were talking about the two-year anniversary, people of Ukraine suffering for the past 2 years. Thousands of people have been killed, men, women, children, babies, senior citizens. And the people of Ukraine, of course, have fought bravely to defend their country. It's amazing to see the way they've been able to stop Putin's armies in what was originally supposed to be a three-day war. Right, we heard that at the beginning, that Putin was going to roll into Ukraine, roll across the country, take over the entire nation in 3 days. Well, obviously that did not happen. And while I was watching the coverage on Saturday, 2 years, marking the date 2 years since the invasion, I started thinking about how Vladimir Putin must be pretty disappointed that what he thought was going to be a three-day event has now lasted 2 years and killed over 400,000 Russian soldiers. Okay, that's according to the Ukrainian military. They're saying over 400,000 Russian soldiers have been killed. The U.S. Pentagon estimates that about 315,000 Russians have been either killed or wounded. So the real number is probably somewhere in between those numbers, but still, it's incredible how many Russian soldiers have been killed in this war, now 2 years old. And I should mention also that the Ukrainian forces, they're saying that they've lost 31,000 troops so far, about one-tenth as many as Russian soldiers killed. But You know, after thinking about how disappointed Putin must be at this point, I also thought about how Putin must be overjoyed by the fact that he has divided the people of the United States. His war in Ukraine is pitting democracy-loving Americans against Trump-loving Americans. Republicans in Congress don't want to support Ukraine. They don't want to fund the war. They don't want to send Ukraine any more money or weapons because Donald Trump is a big fan of Vladimir Putin's. He's a fan of authoritarianism. He, Trump, wants to be a dictator. Instead of standing up to Putin, he wants the United States to bow down to him. It's a fact that by giving weapons to the Ukrainian military, we keep our own military out of the conflict. Military analysts tell us that Putin would not stop if he were to succeed in Ukraine. Poland would probably be next. And since Poland is a member of NATO, the United States would be obligated to enter the war. Is that why Donald Trump threatens to back out of NATO? And by the way, I should explain, for those of you who may not know, NATO is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It's a military alliance of 31 countries. And an attack on one is an attack on all. Of those 31 countries, 29 are European nations. The other two are the United States and Canada. So which side are we on? Are we on the side of France and Germany, Italy, Spain, Canada, and the United Kingdom? Or are we on the side of Vladimir Putin, a murderous dictator who rules over a nation where citizens don't have civil liberties? They don't have the right of free expression. They don't have a free press. The people can't say what they think. And journalists can't report the truth. Which side are we on? Apparently, based on their actions, Republicans are on the side of Vladimir Putin. Am I wrong? What do you think? Feel free to call in if you have an opinion on that. Phone number is 844-967-2789. I'd like to hear what you have to say. This is pretty important. You know, the president and the Democrats have been trying to get more aid, mainly weaponry, to the Ukrainians so they can continue to push back on Vladimir Putin's armies. And for some reason, mainly because Trump doesn't want them to, the Republicans won't go along with this. They say, stop funding Ukraine. You know, what does that have to do with us in the United States? Well, it could have a lot to do with us if we don't fund them. Going to take a break. It's going to be a short one. Stick around. Phone number is 844-967-2789. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life. And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All right, welcome back into the Earl Ingram Show on a Tuesday morning, 20 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. I'm Stu Daniels filling in for Earl today. He will be back tomorrow. And we've been discussing several different topics today: capitalism, acquisition and mergers, affordable health care, and the war in Ukraine. And let's go to the phone lines, see who we got to talk to here. It looks like Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. What do you have to say today?
Thanks for taking my call. It's not just Ukraine. It's virtually all of our treaties, agreements. It's NATO. It's the Paris Climate Accords. The Republicans get back in power, and those are all going to go by the wayside. Nobody, it's happened for 4 years under Trump previously. Nobody trusted America to keep our commitments under Trump. He was just promoting dictators. He, you know, his dear lover friend, Kim Jong-un, people like Putin obviously have him in their thrall. But it's even worse than that. If we think it's bad in Russia, we should look at, and this is the important thing, and this is the elephant, pardon the bad pun, the elephant in the room that nobody seems to be talking about significantly, and that is this thing called Project 2025. It's basically an entire takeover of our democracy. It's a commitment to initiate basically martial law. It's through the Insurrection Act. There is no limit on how long a president could do that. It's a commitment to seek vengeance upon anybody that has had the audacity, or should I say the ethics perhaps, to fight against Trump. It's a commitment that they are going to try to shut down legitimate news media. It's a commitment that they're going to take over the justice system. Heck, they've already got the Supreme Court. This is a horror that we're looking at here, that the Trump supporters, they have no concept of what they get into, what they're getting into if the Republicans take over our other two branches of government once again. One of the interviews I heard was with a Trump supporter, and he was specifically stated, if I wanted to live in a democracy, I wouldn't vote for Trump. That's what we're looking at. But these guys have no idea the havoc that it would wreak upon the economy, the country as a whole, and probably the world when we start stepping away from things like climate agreements and start cozying up to dictators. This is the most dangerous political party that I've seen in my nearly 80 years in this country.
Yeah, there's really nothing I can add to that. Great comments. Jack, thank you for calling in today. I really appreciate your call. Hey, let's move on and go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning, Mike. Thank you for the call. And what do you have to say today?
Good morning. Thank you. A plethora of topics, and I've got opinion on all of them. But let me just start off with saying that last caller was spot on. What I'd like to add to the conversation is a couple points. One is Obamacare was supposed to be a first step. They're all committed, both sides of the aisle made reference that they were going to adjust and tweak it. It was a first step forward. Unfortunately, just like so many other cases, half of Congress chose to be obstructionist and push back instead of, working toward doing America's work of putting together a national health care program that makes sense. My opinion, after under my roof, we've had double digits of serious illnesses and surgeries under my roof. I defy anybody to tell me what I need to know about healthcare that I haven't learned the hard way, American healthcare. What I have learned, my friends, is it's a license to steal. The rates, I'll give you one example quickly. When I had my first colonoscopy done at 50 years old, I was under a Blue Cross Blue Shield program, paying a high premium of $1,600 a month for our family. Everywhere I went, the cost out of pocket with deductible is going to be around $4,000, give or take a little bit. I decided just for fun to call around and act or represent myself as a cash payer. And at the end of the day, after three phone calls, I got the colonoscopy for $1,360 out the door without using insurance. I could go on about dental care. I found the same thing. I've gotten crowns done on a border town in Mexico for $340, where they cost, $1,600, $1,800 here, even with insurance. So what I'd like to just end the call with is America will never get a fair place at the table, a seat at the table, unless we all recognize that it's all about profit and profiteering. It has nothing to do with outcome, has nothing to do with public health. It has to do with profitability of the corporations. Until we knock that top priority off and down the size, it's the way it's always going to be, unfortunately. So thanks for taking my call, my friend.
Yeah. By the way, Mike, are you still there?
Uh-huh. Yes, I am.
So what do you do now what's your family doing now for insurance? Are you still getting insurance through the Affordable Care Act, through the exchange?
No, I finally qualified for Medicare. I turned 65.
Sure.
So, and why is it that we don't look at the obvious elephant in the room, and that is, look at the cost. We pay twice, Americans pay twice or more the cost of every other country that I'm aware of. And we're not getting any better. The other nations, in many cases, are having better outcomes with their patients than American healthcare is. Until we say enough is enough and call this out for what it is, and that is profiteering and corporate control. That's what it is, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that Bernie Sanders would tell us that the reason why our healthcare in America is so expensive is because of all the profiteering, like you just mentioned, by the insurance companies. Senator Sanders has been telling us for a long time that it's time to take the insurance companies out of the equation. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to Civic Media.
Tuesday on the Devil's Advocates, the Michigan primary is on. Dom and Crute hanging out in Michigan. Tune in 4 to 6.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin wildlife officials say the danger for wildfires is high. Much of the state hasn't been under several inches of snow since January. Department of Natural Resources wardens say warmer than normal temperatures, low humidity, breezy conditions, and dry vegetation all add to the problem. Last weekend, the DNR responded to 15 wildfires that burned 30 acres. Nearly all wildfires in Wisconsin are caused by people. Much of southern Wisconsin is going on a wild weather ride today, starting with possible record-high temperatures, then snow, strong storms, and bitter cold. Today starts as mild as yesterday. High temperatures should reach the 60s and even the low 70s. Things take a turn starting at about 6 tonight with a chance of severe weather. In Racine and Kenosha, maybe even tornadoes. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Law enforcement authorities are investigating a hit-and-run crash in Superior. According to the Superior Police Department, the crash occurred around 8 p.m. on Friday at 22nd Avenue East and East 2nd Street near the Super One Plaza. A 38-year-old Duluth man allegedly rear-ended a car with people in it before driving away, crashing through the fence of a nearby house and stopping in the yard. Officers arrested the man and say alcohol may have been a factor in the crash. Nobody was reported injured. St. Louis County Public Works has announced there will be some temporary load restrictions on some gravel roads in the county. Due to unseasonably warm weather this winter, the gravel roads have become damaged and heavy trucks could cause more damage as the roads continue to thaw out early. The road restrictions cover Fox Farm Road, Two Harbors Road, App Road, and the gravel portion of West Knife River Road. The load restrictions come about a month earlier than the winter weather typically calls for. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Matt Nair on air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my bird.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
With a 60-second showbiz beat. In case you were worried, Wisconsin is well represented on the show Actor with a Pickup Truck Needs to Go on TV to Meet Girls, also known as Farmer Wants a Wife. Thanks to her Midwestern charm, 24-year-old Grace Gerard of Caledonia, Wisconsin, has apparently been getting the big eye from TV farmer Brandon Rogers on Fox's, quote, reality, end quote, show. Rogers chose Gerard for a solo date on last week's episode, saying he was hoping for a drama-free evening, which is the exact opposite reason people tune into reality TV. Good luck, Grace. It's been 9 years, but Downton Abbey fans might get another dose of the show they treasure. According to Collider.com, a seventh season could be on the way. The new season would follow two wildly successful feature films about the Crowley family and their staff. The show has not been on for 9 years, and it's been about 7 years since I've been asked, "You've really never seen Downton Abbey?" Once again, the pressure is on, and I will have to check it out. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sunshine early today, then rain and snow possible after around 2 or 3 p.m. We'll get to around 51 early this afternoon with temperatures falling into the upper 20s by late today. The wind will be northwest at 10 to 20, gusting to 25. Tonight, some light snow, 3 above. Tomorrow, sunny 19. We're back to 43 by Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Now, we tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Yes, I take you there. Now we're getting somewhere. 9:34 right now, almost 9:35. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. On a Tuesday morning, I'm Stu Daniels, your host today, and filling in for Earl. He will be back tomorrow, so you can look forward to that. Discussing several different topics today: capitalism, healthcare, affordable healthcare, acquisitions and mergers. And just before the break, we were talking about, had a couple of callers discussing healthcare and the fact that healthcare in America is more expensive than healthcare anywhere else in the world. So why is that? Well, probably because the United States is the only advanced nation in the world without universal health care, right? In most countries, it's single-payer health care. Health care is paid for by the government, and it's actually paid for by the taxes that the citizens give to the government. And so they don't have health insurance companies the way that we do here in the United States. That's where all the money goes. That's where all the profits go. That's what we were just talking about before the break, the profiteering. Companies like United Healthcare, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Humana. There are dozens, if not hundreds, of companies that are skimming off the top, and they have to pay administrators, right? Obviously, medical billing is a big, big business. And the insurance companies control everything these days. You know, it wasn't that long ago that being a doctor or being a nurse was a great gig. You had a good job. It was a hard job, but you were taking care of people and in most cases making pretty good money. But it's not like that now anymore. Doctors can still make a decent wage, but they are way overworked and they're probably not making what they're worth. And the same thing goes for the nurses, probably even to a greater extent, way overworked and way underpaid. And why? It's because we can shovel all the money toward the healthcare companies. So why do we even have these healthcare companies? You know, in most countries, you need a doctor, you go to the doctor takes care of you, and you walk out the door. There's no bill. There's nothing to pay for the patient. It's all handled by the universal healthcare system of that country. But that's not the way it is here in the United States. As the leader in capitalism, we have all these corporations, these health insurance companies that are making millions, if not billions of dollars from people being sick. And that's not something that you can choose to buy. It's not like choosing to buy a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk. It's health care. You don't have a choice. So that's where we're at. And it looks like we have more callers on the line. Marilyn from Waukesha, thank you for calling in today. What do you have to say?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Well, actually, I have a lot to say, so I hope I have enough time. I'd like to address first about socialized medicine. Yes, it is. Big companies are all about money and power. So is pharma, and that's why our drugs are so expensive. But if you go to countries like Canada, very close, Cuba, very close, who has socialized medicine, you don't just walk into the non-emergent clinic and say, I have a problem. No, they don't even have those. You wait in line. I had a friend in Canada who had to wait 6 months to see the doctor for a heart-related problem. In the meantime, he had a heart attack. That's the kind of stuff socialized medicine will do to you. You have to wait your turn. If you have a lot of money, you can go to the top. Same as in Russia. I've been to these countries, and so I've experienced this personally. So moving on, Ukraine. Biden said he would have their back no matter what. That's all well and good. And he sent them billions of our taxpayer dollars. The problem is
had no accountability attached to it. We have no idea where that money went. We do know that 4 to 5 Ukrainian elites got caught with $40 million of our dollars in their pockets, which was meant to buy ammunition. You could buy a lot with $40 million. That's what the people are against. The people are, we can see the Ukrainian soldiers are fighting very hard, and we can relate to that. And because we are holding back the money at this time, it's not because we don't favor the Ukrainian soldiers and that we favor Russia, because we do not. We don't like Putin any more than anybody else. But we want accountability, and we want a plan. What is the plan to end this war? Not just, oh, we can do this in 3 days. That has not obviously worked. You have to have a plan, and they don't. That's what people are angry about, throwing their money into this pit with no accountability. At the other side, we have an open border, thanks to Biden, streaming in, and we, the taxpayers, are paying for everything they get, and they're getting more than our poor people right here in the States.
And all right. Hey, Marilyn, I'm going to cut you off right there. I appreciate you calling in and giving us several different points of view. And I'm not sure I'm going to go back and discuss each one of those, but I would push back against the fact that we have open borders. And I would also push back against the fact that there's no accountability. And of course, whenever you're funding a war, there's going to be some people that take advantage of it. But like you said, those guys were caught that stole the money, that stole the money that was supposed to be going for weaponry. So sounds like there was some accountability. Hey, let's keep moving on and go to Sharky from Racine. And good morning, Sharky. What do you have to say today?
Good morning, and thank you. Your program's wonderful, and we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
As a boy growing up in Milwaukee, I was shelled out of that city at age 7. And I look today, now I'm 65 years old, and I had two regrets. I wish I'd read more and read better. And I tell you what, we talk about the insurance. That should be a four-letter word universally. And it's so ugly. I have numerous medical issues that I think I'll be bankrupt probably in the next 2 years if all things don't go well. But, you know, I'll work through it. But getting back to all this harm, either, you know, with the greed, with insurance, and going back in history, and you're an awful intelligent man, but I always think about Mr. Trump's wife's first wife, her father. He was the catalyst. He groomed this situation to this day, playing honky tonk with Mr. Trump, and he's in his responsibilities in Russia. And I don't know how to pronounce his name or what the exact dates were, but he was definitely looking at that asset, Mr. Trump, and we should never forget that. Never forget that, because that's what's pushing a pin in our eye every single moment of every single day.
Now, can you expand on that a little bit, Sharky? Tell me more about what you're saying. You're saying that Ivanka Trump's or Ivana Trump's father, Donald Trump's first wife, the father of her, had. Tell me what you're saying again.
What do you say? I'll say, so she had just passed in the last year, Trump's first
right.
wife.
Ivana,
so,
yeah.
So, during that time, though, when Mr. Trump married the daughter, being the one that just mm-hmm. passed, obviously
yeah.
Dad knew that he had a lot of irons in the fire. So that was his little nest egg. And I don't know how to pronounce his Russian name, but he was out there and he was pushing hard. And they, to this point, he worked the mindset. from the father, and he was definitely glad that they're both in each other's handshakes. And we should, people a lot smarter than me and with a lot more information, and they're out there. And I love these people who read better than me, because we need good readers too, by the way.
Yeah.
So, but thank you for this chance to be able to air that. But I always think about this, Mr. Trump, Trump's.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. And thank you for enlightening us on that. I wasn't aware of that. The father of Ivana Trump evidently had some connections to Russia. I'm going to have to study up on that and find out more about that. I believe she was from Czechoslovakia, Ivana Trump, originally, passed away about a year and a half ago or so, I believe. But anyway, thank you for the call. We got 9:45 right now. We got about, what, 2 or 3 minutes until the break, Calvin? Yeah. Okay, 3 minutes. Hey, just want to get back to what we were discussing about the health care. This story from NBC News, how the 2024 presidential election may threaten your health care coverage, could threaten health care coverage for millions of Americans. And the Obamacare signups to this day are surging, but experts warn that it may not last. And the outcome of this upcoming presidential election could jeopardize health care coverage for millions of Americans. And that, of course, is because Donald Trump continues to threaten to get rid of the health care law if he wins a second term. And there's a chance that Republicans could gain control of Congress, right? They've already got control of the House. They could gain control of the Senate. Experts say they would likely let expire the discounts that make Obamacare more affordable for millions of people. Here's a quote. This election has huge health impacts. That's from Chris Meekins. He is a health policy research analyst at the investment firm of Raymond James. Worries about health care costs are a major reason for negative views of the U.S. economy, right? Even though by most metrics, statistics show you that the economy, the U.S. economy, is doing well. Even though each of us individually may not have the best personal economy, the overall economy of the United States is doing well. But when asked, many Americans say the economy, in their eyes, is not doing that well. Well, according to the story, worries about health care costs are a major reason for negative views of the United States economy. A KFF poll released on Wednesday, I believe Wednesday of last week, found, and I'm assuming KFF stands for Kaiser Family Foundation, says here that nearly three quarters of adults fear they won't be able to pay for their medical bills. And 50% of people in the United States, including almost a quarter of Republicans, actually want the next president and Congress to expand what the Affordable Care Act does. Only a third of adults support scaling back the law, and it says here 14%, or repealing it entirely, 18%, the new poll found. Okay, so I see if you add those two together, you get 32%, which is about a third of adults. So one more thing, as of January 24th, more than 21 million people had signed up for 2024 health insurance plans through Obamacare. 21 million people. Got to take a break. Everybody stick around. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show. You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one Q-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Q's in Rice Lake is the oldest pool Q-maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most Q-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
When that moon gets so big and bright, it's supernatural delight. Every border was dancing in the moonlight.
Oh yeah, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. Stu Daniels filling in for Earl today. He will be back tomorrow. We're finally in the final segment of the show. And thanks to everybody that's been calling in today. And thanks to everybody that's listening. Just one more topic I want to get to before we wrap things up for today. And, you know, up until about 30 years ago, public education in the United States was completely separate from private education, right? You could send your kids to public school for free. Or if you wanted to send them to private school, you had to fork over some cash and pay for the tuition. Well, then about 30 years ago, we here in Wisconsin decided to try an experiment with the help of our governor at the time, Tommy Thompson, and let's do what they call school choice. So now, all of a sudden, we had public dollars, taxpayer dollars, going to fund private schools. And over the past 30 years, that has only expanded to the point now where all across the country, there are millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, going to private schools. And in fact, many of them are religious schools. And of course, that goes completely against the original idea of keeping church separate from the government. But it continues to get worse to the point where public education now, public school systems across the country are having a really difficult time. I mean, it was difficult 30 years ago when school choice started funding public schools. But now, with so many millions of dollars going toward private schools, public schools are having a hard time just maintaining. So I have a story here from the Progressive. The headline says, "The Right's Long Game to End Public Education." Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona finally said the quiet part out loud. This piece just posted yesterday at the Progressive. It says, on February 13th, President Joe Biden's Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, did something Democratic officials seldom do in public. He spoke the truth about what's behind the relentless attacks on public schools by right-wing advocacy groups and their financial backers. As HuffPost reported, one of the topics that came up during a meeting between Cardona and black journalists that took place at the Department of Education was the recent wave of new laws passed in mostly red states that target programs in K-12 schools and institutions of higher education that address diversity, equity, and inclusion. Advocates for DEI programs say they are needed to ensure positive academic, health, and social outcomes for students who often face discrimination and fewer educational opportunities due to their race, their class, religion, gender, or ability level. Opponents say they shame white students and cause reverse discrimination. Cardona called new laws passed by Republican state lawmakers to eliminate DEI programs, quote, a deliberate attack on efforts to try to make sure schools are inclusive, welcoming places for all students, in particular, students from different backgrounds, end quote. But more than just defending schools for embracing DEI, Cardona went further to call out the intention behind these attacks on the programs, calling them, quote, very deliberate attempts to seek division in our schools so that a private option sounds better for parents. Every year, there's something to stoke division in an attempt to disrupt our public schools and decrease the confidence in our public schools. 4 years ago were the masks. Critical race theory was a year after that. Now, DEI and banning books, end quote. The serial crises that groups like Moms for Liberty and the Heritage Foundation string together year after year to inflame the populace with fear and suspicion about public schools have been the subject of extensive reporting. But when major news outlets report on these outbursts of right-wing rage, the articles tend to focus solely on the legitimacy of specific grievances, rather than considering whether the attacks themselves could be a tactic in a much longer game. According to an analysis by NBC News, there are at least 165 local and national groups connected to protests and incidents of threats and violence directed at public schools. Many of these groups have connections to prominent national right-wing advocacy organizations and think tanks, including the American Legislative Exchange Council, also known as ALEC, the Manhattan Institute, the Heritage Foundation, the Cato Institute, and FreedomWorks. In a study of the funding sources for Moms for Liberty, retired University of Massachusetts professor Maurice Cunningham linked the group's financial records to conservative dark money organizations such as the Council for National Policy and the Leadership Institute. Is that really what's going on? Has that been the plan all along by Republicans and conservatives to shut down public education? I think we might have time for one more caller. Got Bill from Oconomowoc on the line. Bill, what do you have to say today?
Good morning. You've got a wonderful show. And what you just brought up about education, I was going to talk on something else you said, but boy, you've just got great topics. Here's what the American taxpayer has to do. They have to demand, if we are going to fund private schools, and by the way, I believe in private schools, but I believe in private schools being self-funded. So if they want the taxpayer funding, they have to drop their tax status and pay taxes like the rest of us. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe the American taxpayer would go for that. But we cannot contribute to private or give taxpayer money to private organizations. And the reason the Heritage Foundation and Cato Institute and all those other groups are involved in it, they don't like public education because they teach children, young adults, and everyone to have an open mind and look at everything. They like a controlled education, whether it's Hillsdale or some of these Christian groups that call themselves Christian. But
yeah, Bill, I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. And we are out of time. Thanks to everybody who listened today, and thanks to everybody who called in. And thanks to Earl for letting me do these shows. He'll be back tomorrow. Everybody have a great day. You're listening to Civic Media.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Tuesday on Matt Nair On Air, Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau joins us to explain the difference between charitable groups and political donation groups. Make sure you join us.
The Todd Almost Show.
Green Bay is a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Almost Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Another trip to the White House in search of a compromise to avoid a government shutdown. ABC